The darkness was overwhelming. The life I knew and the life I always thought would be mine disappeared from view. I had fallen into an abyss with no light, no hope, and thought that everyone else would be better off without me. The only answer, the only escape from the pain that made sense was death. What happened? How did I get here? Why is this happening to me? In 2004, after I experienced the joy of welcoming my son Nick into the world, I had a psychotic and manic break. Undiagnosed bipolar disorder, whose symptoms had emerged early in college, consumed my life and the life of my family. In and out of the hospital, feeling like a lab rat, fed medication after medication, losing jobs, and wondering if things would ever get better. I longed for health, for the opportunity to be the mom I wanted to be, the person I wanted to be. My blessing, my saving grace, was the sanctuary of hope provided by an amazing network of family and friends. When I didn't have hope, they held hope for me. They walked with me step by step as I began my recovery journey. My intense longing for well-being helped drive me to try anything and everything to get better. At one point, my mom told me if someone had told me to eat a couch and I would get better, I would have gone to the couch and bite by bite tried to eat it. The journey continues, step by step, day by day, sometimes hour by hour, and minute by minute. I find hope in the wise counsel of an amazing doctor who empowers me through holistic care, in a therapist who helps guide me to my own truth, in connecting with my spiritual centers through yoga, in the daily practice of healthy coping skills and behaviors, and through this amazing faith community, and the constant of my family and friends fostering my hope for recovery. Hope often gets a bad rap. We sometimes associate it with naivete or disconnection with reality, but hope should not be confused with optimism or positive thinking, a belief or attitude that things are just going to turn out well and fine. Hope lives in reality. Hope acknowledges obstacles and has no room for delusion. Hope is not just a feel-good emotion, but is described as a cognitive motivational system. And what this means is that when you have hope, your emotions follow your cognition, your thoughts, perceptions, and observations. Hope has also been defined as the ability to set both long-term and short-term goals and having the willpower and way power to get there. Way power means the ability and capability to visualize and implement a variety of strategies to get to your goals. In the classic children's story, The Little Engine That Could, we read about an engine that is faced with the seemingly impossible goal of pulling a heavy load over difficult terrain. Although she realized she was not strong enough to manage this task alone, her way power thinking enabled her to think of another solution. She asked for help. Although she had difficulty finding another engine willing to help, she was motivated to continue looking for assistance until she found someone who would lend a hand. You remember what she said? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And people with willpower and way power have goal-directed thoughts like, I can do this, and I am not going to be stopped. And through this story, we have a glimpse into how hope, through willpower and way power, was able to help the little engine meet her goals. One of the first services I attended here at the fellowship focused on the dynamics of hope. a book by Jerome Groopman, an oncologist, called The Anatomy of Hope, was mentioned. I picked it up and was immediately drawn in. The book documents his research on the biology of hope relating to prevailing in the face of illness. So he's a doctor, rational, logical, cause and effect. And he anecdotally noticed in his practice that the patients he treated who had hope for recovery had higher rates of recovery and remission than those who held no hope. His book begins with the story of Pandora opening the box, which contained all blessings and curses. In a moment, all the curses and blessings were released into the world, except one, hope. Without hope, mortals could not endure. Or, as President Snow says, why do you think we have a winner in the Hunger Games? Hope. It's the only thing stronger than fear. The brain is our final frontier in mapping the billions of neurons and connections is an ambitious and seemingly impossible task. The United States has pledged hundreds of millions of dollars to a project aptly called BRAIN. Brain Research Through Advanced Neurotechnologies, which is working to create a working model of the brain that maps those billions of connections of neurons. It is estimated that the more than 100 million Americans affected by brain disorders like mental illness, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's cost us more than $500 billion each year. Because the science of the brain is imperfect, our treatments are often ineffective, causing a ripple of implications to individuals' and families' lives, their well-being, and their economic circumstances. But the brain holds the key to how our thoughts and emotions impact our body systems. Studies documenting the placebo effect have found that belief, desire, and expectation produce chemicals called endorphins. These chemicals are just as powerful against pain as morphine, a drug that switches off neural circuits to function as a suit of armor against pain. One of the most interesting placebo effect studies was with arthroscopic knee surgery. 180 patients were divided into groups that either had a surgery or a sham placebo surgery. And the placebo surgery included all the elements you expect in a real surgery, but they never inserted the arthroscope. The groups received the same postoperative care and therapy. Patients who had received the surgery and the placebo surgery had equal benefit in regards to decreased pain and improvement in function. Similar placebo studies have been done with back surgeries, Parkinson's disease, and treatments for asthma with the same results. The mind-body connection is very powerful and can work for us or against us. When we feel mental or physical pain, that pain amplifies our fear, anxiety, and despair. The less hopeful we feel, the fewer endorphins we release. There's also the complexity of the effect of environment, stress, genetics, and past experiences that impact and influence our brain's capacity to create those feel-good chemicals. I experienced those feel-good chemicals firsthand during the birth of our son, Quinn, last year. Through our hypnobirthing practice, I was very able to relax and focus my mind and let my body do the work. And I got to the birth center, and my midwife said to me, "Are you sure you're in labor?" And I said, "Yes." And Quinn was born 4 hours later. I also have a wonderful yoga teacher here, Bee, who triumphed through breast cancer. When she went into surgery, they took her blood pressure, and they said, "Oh my gosh, your blood pressure is too low for surgery." She had been doing her mantras and her relaxation, and she said, "Oh, I know what's happening," and she let that go, and her blood pressure went up. Science is on the side of hope. Dr. Charles Snyder is the creator of hope theory. Snyder's adult hope scale measures a cognitive model of hope, which defines hope as a positive motivational state that is based on an interactivity of derived sense of successful agencies and pathways. So the scale asks questions that measure pathways and agency thinking. So let's take a moment and let you measure your capability for hope according to his hope scale. So when I ask these questions, think about them as definitely true, definitely false, or maybe somewhere in between. I can think of many ways to get out of a jam. I energetically pursue my goals. There are lots of ways around a problem. I can think of many ways to get the things in life that are most important to me. Even when others get discouraged, I know I can find a way to solve the problem. My past experiences have prepared me well for my future. I've been pretty successful in life. I meet the goals that I set for myself. How did your hope measure up? When I looked at this scale, I realized that my memories of growing up in my life before mental illness showed that I had the skills of internal willpower and way power. I think of my successes in academics and extracurriculars and the can-do attitude with which I approached everything. When mental illness devastated my life, I wondered if I would ever get back to myself. The self who excelled at everything she did, the self who thought no mountain was too high, no task unable to be accomplished. And one of the most powerful moments in my recovery was when my mom looked at me and said, "I feel like I have my daughter back." Dr. Snyder describes goals involving hope as falling somewhere between an impossibility and a sure thing. He goes on to suggest, rather humorously, that the sign at the entrance to Dante's hell reads, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." And it's appropriate because hell offers no possibility for attaining any further goal. But he goes on to say that heaven could really have a similar sign because heaven is the fulfillment of all goals. Do you use hope in your spiritual practice? Many individuals utilize hope in their faith, religion, or spirituality to help them find their purpose. Most religious traditions advance the notion that the closer we come to the higher power's purpose for us, the more satisfied we become in our daily lives. Sense of purpose and meaning take on a deeper significance when viewed through the eyes of faith. Hope generates not just a purpose, but a calling. Religious perspectives, according to Robert Emmons, can cultivate the most profound human strivings by providing knowledge and resources for living a life of purpose and direction. Although all of us here may draw from different spiritual practices, different sources, or inspirations, as Unitarian Universalists, we are drawn together with purpose to build a better world. Our purpose and the way our community expresses our purpose serves as a source of hope for our members, friends, and community to build a world of liberty and justice for all. In our community, nation, and world, the tragic news and events of the past year, especially the past few weeks, seem to darken our hope. Yesterday, Reverend Leah shared a beautiful prayer on Facebook by the Rabbi Jack Reimer, and he says, "We cannot merely pray, root out despair, for the spark of hope already waits within the human heart for us to fan it into flame. We must not ask of you, O God, to take the task that you have given us. We cannot shirk, we cannot flee away, avoiding obligation forever. Therefore, we pray, O God, for wisdom and will, for courage to do and become, not only to look on with helpless yearning as though we had no strength, for your sake and ours, speedily and soon let it be, that our land may be safe, that our lives may be blessed. I grew up in the Catholic Church, attended Catholic school, and continued my faith practice through college. My faith was and still is a part of the fabric of my being. When I was struggling, I questioned why, and at times disconnected from my faith, and other times obsessively trying religion and prayer for healing and to find out why. My spirituality involves believing there is a reason why we have the experiences that we do, that life is a series of lessons, sometimes repeated lessons, until we get them. The reason is definitely not clear in the midst of the darkness. My recovery and being in a place where pain and fear had drowned out hope has helped me to appreciate each and every healthy moment and day that I have. I appreciate being the mom, partner, daughter, friend, employee, community member, and self. I want to be so much more than I used to. In my spiritual practice, using hope, willpower, and way power to reach toward the goals I set both personally and professionally is a daily practice. So how can we enhance hope as a spiritual practice both for ourselves and our community? Celebrate and learn from success and think of setbacks and challenges as the wrong strategy, not a failure. Cultivate a community of discussion around goals and purpose, both personally for our fellowship and our world. Offer opportunities for re-goaling, and this is persistence in the face of absolute goal blockages. Support holistic health and healthy life skills, all the things we know, eat well, exercise, get good rest, and then remembering that our bodies and mind are connected. Work to exercise those hope muscles with body and mind. One of our previous month's themes was heroism, so find a hope hero. They're closer than you think. My favorite? Laughing, especially when stuck. Also, laughter releases endorphins, those feel-good brain chemicals I mentioned before. And also chocolate, especially sea salt caramels from Wilmar's. Add that in there. Educate ourselves and others for specific hope and life skills, as well as continuing to learn how to learn. And if you want to be inspired on learning how to learn, go on TED Talks and look for Ramona Pearson. She was in a devastating accident that left her blind, completely disabled, having to learn everything over. She has an incredible story of recovery, going on to earn graduate, master's, and become a professor of neuroscience. We have an opportunity to create a spiritual community of hope for the children of our fellowship. Dr. Norman Gresby of the University of Minnesota, who actually just passed away last week, is the creator of a mental health treatment best practice called Building Resiliency. Resilience is described as bounce back ability, or the process encompassing positive adaptation within the context of adversity. And one of the most influential factors in building resiliency, especially in children, is the availability and use of external supports, other adults, peers, and community. The powerful experiences expressed by our young adults who go through coming of age show us that our RE program in our community supports and builds resiliency, a tool that will help our children succeed today and in the future. By supporting building resiliency of children, adults, and families in our community and beyond, we can affect the mental and physical health of others for years to come. When I look back at the turning point in my recovery, it was the moment my family and I found hope through the education and support programs of NAMI. For the first time, I saw people living well with mental illness. Not just living well, but living the lives they dreamed of, the lives they wanted. Today, I'm honored to share my hope with others. My hope for a world free of stigma, when mental illness is recognized as a physical illness. My hope for medical advances, to be able to accurately diagnose and effectively treat mental illness. And my hope for all to live a life of recovery, to live the life they have hoped for. When hope is most important during times of great challenge or adversity, it is often the most difficult to find. We can hold hope for others when their load is too heavy. We can hold hope for those struggling with mental or physical issues. We can hold hope for a peaceful and just community and for a world where none of us go without. But remember, hope is not just a thought. It's a practice of seeing a vision and using your willpower and way power to help make that vision a reality. I'll close with a quote from author Barbara Kingsolver. The very least you can do in your life is to figure out what you hope for. And the most you can do is live inside that hope. Not just admire it from a distance, but live right in it, under its roof. May it be so.